I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey, everyone. Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight, and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.
Greetings, Earthlings and boys and girls, ladies and gents, babies, dogs, cats and weasels. So for podcast numero 5, we managed to squeeze into that tiny little possible last space in media land that Sarah Cox hasn't been booked for yet. Podcasts about festivals. You've got to get pretty specialised these days if you want to get hold of Sarah. If you watch any TV, listen to any radio, check any website, she's there. She's the ubiquitous queen of all at the mo, and rightly so. She's got her own best-selling book to boot out at the moment, Till the Cows Come Home. And yeah, I've known her since the glory days of the 90s, Ladette culture and all of that. But she was at Radio 1, I was there. And her and her family, her growing family, kids and husband have been staunch supporters of our shows, popping up in Hidden Disco at Festival, looking all sparkly in the wee hours, or cooking sausages, always seems to be cooking something, on a camping stove at Camp Festival. So I met her in the BBC Club, which was very noisy. So this is one of those podcasts where you might hear quite a lot of rattling and noise in the background. Hopefully it won't put you off the interview. It was Curry Club at the BBC Club. So yeah, if you apologies if you're slightly disturbed from listening to Sarah's dulcet tones. But yes, for the Rob DeBank A to Z of festivals, number 5, this is Sarah Cox. Hello people, and welcome back to the A to Z of festivals with me, Rob DeBank. We're in quite a noisy location today. Sometimes it's uber quiet, everything's kind of soundproofed. Animac's shed was pretty soundproof. Today we're in a loud, boisterous location, which could reflect the personality of the guest. I sound like Keith Lemon on Through the Keyhole now, but we are with the one and only Sarah Cox. How you doing?
Hey Rob, yeah, I'm good, thank you. I'm laughing because it's like, it's the BBC Club, so it's all the sort of lovely, you know, all the engineers and all the studio managers and producers. I've just seen my boss over there, and it's not particularly wild in here, but they do. I think today is actually Curry Wednesday.
I was about to say, there is a certain whiff.
Whiff. Yeah. I think we've got a bit of curry goat going on over there. It's nice. So this is where, yeah, the great and gather. So the great and good gather for, you know, a lunchtime pint. It's,
and we've got some awesome sort of fake leather kind of bonkettes.
Well, this fake leather, the dearly departed and very lovely man Keith Flint used to refer to this sort of fabric as pleather, because it is that lovely plastic leather. A lot of these booths are kind of split as well. You wonder if...
You don't want to know what's been going on in here. Yeah, I do remember a Radio 1 staff party here back in the day, so it's been well used.
That's probably what split some of the bonkettes. There'd have been Trevor Nelson
Chris
on there
Miles.
And Groove Rider.
Yes, yeah,
dancing.
Okay, cool. So, we're here to talk about festivals, obviously. Obviously, your meteoric rise to recent fame as an author.
Yes.
You've got a book out. You were just telling me about that. Mm. Obviously, you're bashing away on Radio 2 every afternoon. Is that right? Is that a fair sort of term to say, bashing away?
Not sure. It's Radio 2, so it's more perhaps of a potter.
Pottering away.
But it is. I mean, it's basically the dream job has happened.
Yeah. No, you've landed on your feet yet again. Sarah Cox. So let's get into it. So just to warm up, we're going to have a few little true or falses just to kind of get you limbered up. So get your leotard on for these. So true or false, Sarah? Your day started by accidentally shouting at a vicar and getting a parking ticket.
True.
Tell us about that.
So, right, I'm on the way to school with the kids and I'm in a very small car, very eco-friendly, tiny car about the size of a tin of sardines, and I've got my three precious offspring in there and my two almost equally precious dogs, and there is a van, a white van, speeding right up my floof. And the worst thing is on this car as well, the rear view mirror is really magnified. Because you're in a little car, you're already quite scared of big cars. And then the magnified mirror makes everything looks faintly terrifying. So I'm going along a 20 and he's fuming because I'm sticking to 20. Loads of kids, scooters knocking around, you know. And then as I pull up to a junction, I take the opportunity to wind down my window and lean out and go, "Oi! Mate, do you want to try relaxing a little bit, you loser?" And as I say it, just behind my car, a nice vicar had crossed behind just at the moment that I'd shouted at this other guy who was behind me. And the vicar sort of looked at me as if, and he was like a trendy vicar in trainers, you know, young, like with the dog collar on, but like with a pair of like Adidas on. And he looked at me all confused, and then I grasped him up, the guy behind me. I was like, "Sorry, not you. I
Sorry,
meant the
Reverend.
Guy behind me." He was driving dangerously close to me. And then I went really bright pink by the time I'd sort of wound my neck back in and got back, you know, in the car.
Well, thank you, Sarah. That's the end of the podcast because you've just taken out with that anecdote. It was true or false, but I suppose I did ask for an explanation. But
you did, yeah.
It was a good way to kick off your day, though, and give you something to talk about on the radio later.
Well, you know what it's like. If you do a daily radio show, everything is content.
Yeah.
So even as a disaster is unfolding, you know, you've dropped something in your lap or a child has been mildly injured, you're like, yes, that is content.
Okay, true or false, you once drove to the wrong castle to go to a festival and put in the wrong one into your sat nav and went to a completely different site.
False.
Okay.
Okay, true. I ended up going to Ludworth Castle. Ludlow Castle. See, I'm still not sure. Ludlow Castle instead of the glorious Lulworth Castle. They both, in my defence, on a sat-nav, when it just flashes up a picture of the UK, they both are west. It's just one is sort of west and then north quite a lot, and one is west and then south quite a lot.
So for complete transparency, obviously we're talking about Lulworth Castle, where Camp Festival is, and you were on your way to our show, and I think you texted me or phoned me and said, "I'm here, but it's Ludlow."
It was
so awful. How many miles north was that?
The kids were just starting to get fractious with each other, and I thought we were a few miles away, but I didn't see any of those the usual AA signs or, you know,
no
kids with rucksacks.
People, no.
Yeah. And I started to get that awful feeling in my belly that I'd seriously messed up. And that was at about 6 p.m. when we pulled up there, and then I altered it in the sat nav to the correct castle, and it was like a midnight arrival.
Oh, and, so is it somewhere near Wales?
It is sort of Shropshire, sort of towards the Welsh border.
Okay, well, maybe more of that later, because that does feature in your book. Yes, Sarah's got a book out. True or false, Radio 2 is more rock and roll than Radio 1?
A false feeling. I mean, it's got quite a rock and roll history. I mean, I was talking yesterday about Bob Harris when he flew for the old grey whistle test to interview John Lennon. And John Lennon tried to do the accent yesterday. "Hey, Bob, Right there, Bob. That's John Lennon. He didn't want any fee. He wanted this certain sort of cracker that's covered in chocolate that are no longer available but were really popular back then. It's like 1975. And Bob paid him in chocolate crackers and went over, flew to New York and did the interview with the Beatles.
That is
pretty rock and roll.
That is rock and
roll.
So
the background, you know, the Johnny Walkers, the Bob Harrises, the Elaine Pages. She's still a bit of a goer.
Okay, you once mistook the stone circle at Glastonbury for an episode of the Great Pottery Throwdown and tried to form the stones into some nice glazed pottery.
Oh, that one's actually false.
Okay. And finally, last but not least, you're an honorary doctor of the University of Bolton.
Yes.
Any particular subject? Or
not really, but I do know now if anybody's taken ill on a plane and they ask for a doctor, I can just go, yeah, why not? Mm. I got a floppy velvet hat alongside Anna Friel at the University of Bolton.
Okay, lovely. Well, that's you nicely warmed up, I hope. So, I mean, obviously we're talking about festivals. I always start off by saying, what is it for you yourself that is the kind of attraction of festivals, the magic, the, you know, the escapism? What one thing is it that you love about them?
I think that last word of escapism for me is what a festival is all about, because it is escaping from your day-to-day life and from the rat race and from responsibility. And, you know, in my mind, festivals are clearly split into two now, because there's family festivals where we take the kids, and then there's festivals where we absolutely would not be in charge of young people. So, you know, when we go to Glastonbury or to Bestival, like myself and my husband, it's just a time to find each other again, to have that kind of kick up your heels, have no responsibilities. You don't have to really be anywhere for a certain time unless you're trying to get to a certain stage. And it's a time to... It's that thing where there's just no home time, and that's really lovely. Do you know what
great,
I mean?
Yeah.
There's no, like...
That's a great subtitle for a festival. No home time.
Yeah, there's no home time. There's no, like, right, ladies and gentlemen, can you empty your glasses, please? There's no, like, oh, we need to get an Uber. It's all, like, it can just continue as long as you can keep going, you know?
Which is kind of good and bad, because some people just don't know the rules inside their own head.
I think through trial and error, you do learn over the years.
Yeah, yeah.
But,
a rough time.
That's kind of the fun of it as well. It's like the nonsense you speak, you know, when you've been up for way too long, but you have got that. Everyone's, especially on night two, I always find you're bedded in a bit by then. Night one, you get a bit overexcited and go a bit wild and get a bit too drunk and in the spirit of things. And night two, you've kind of hit that sort of lovely level where, you know, you're really relaxed. And I don't mean that in a hilarious way of saying hammered. I mean, you are genuinely relaxed. You've unwound from living in the city. You're now just in a field with some with people that you really love.
You don't mind if there's a bit of dog poo on your knee, or there's
I mean, ideally,
I don't know why dog poo, maybe cow poo. I mean, there's cow more, pats and, you know, things
more,
like that.
Yeah, there's definitely more dog poo in London than at any festival. Exactly. You don't, and you know, you don't really mind that. What's the best thing is just the laughing as well, because I think it's just so good for the soul to laugh with friends that you love.
Yeah, I mean, there are some people that still are quite snobby about festivals, even though festivals seem to, you know, everyone knows someone who goes to a festival, whether it's their kids, their grandparents or whatever, but there are still some people that, oh no, you wouldn't catch me sleeping in a tent or whatever. Are you one of those people, or are you very much, let's get in there, eight people in a two-man tent and let's go for it?
I think I'm somewhere between the two, really. I am a bit spoiled.
About five people in a two-man tent.
Yeah, exactly. We went camping a lot when I was little. We got to Cornwall a lot. We didn't have a lot of money, and what we did was we had a tent, and we would just go to like a really basic campsite, and they're my happiest memories from when I was little. And so to me, I love the sound of like the zip in the morning. And you've walked past me.
That is a good zip. Can you do that again?
And I love that sound where like you're just under the skies. It's so nice. And I love making a bacon butty, frying it up in my little pan. I love my little camping stove. So especially at family festivals where things were a little bit more, a lot more restrained, you know, because I'm there with the kids. And, you know, I love sort of the whole camping experience. When it comes to going to a festival with just me and my other half, we varied from little beige motorhomes, which we've had some fantastic nights in, to one incredible blag 1 year at Glastonbury, where we got a Winnebago that had been used for normally used for Formula One drivers.
Nice.
So they're worth like $250,000 or something ridiculous. Or more. I mean, ridiculous. We're talking like sort of walnut panelling and gold and like a big bed and a shower. And that was insanely good. The only thing is, when you've got somewhere so good, you end up not leaving it, because that just becomes the party place.
Well, I have been backstage at Glastonbury where you go in, some of the agents, the people who look after the bands, obviously, you go into their motorhomes and they're actually watching Glastonbury on the TV less than 100 yards from the main stage. And they're actually watching their own bands.
You're being paid.
I can't name the agents, obviously, but it's like, what, you're watching Glastonbury on the TV.
I've got to confess, when Beyoncé played Glastonbury, the crowd was so huge that we went out and we could see her, and she, you know, even the screens were kind of a speck. She was like a demi speck, and we did head back to the hospitality bar and watch it on the screens there, because we're like, we can have a sit down.
Did you not get a large bouncer in a yellow tabard to sort of walk through the crowd with you on his shoulders?
No, he avoided that. I always keep my head down at a festival a little bit. Always have a hood up. A hood's always good at a festival.
Yeah. And Annie Mack was saying she wears a bright pink or orange wig. Have you got a particular accessory of choice that you...
I've not actually. I did see once...
A clown mask or a...
No, that'd be good. People would love
a pantomime horse with Ben.
I just find after a couple of days of like not sleeping properly...
I don't recognise you
like
anyway.
My aged mother.
You look like an old Sarah Cox.
You look like an old hag version of one of our favourite top 50 favourite DJs.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalised plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
This is Rob DeBank's A to Z of Festivals. Subscribe now and please remember to rate.
And I mean, on a more serious note, maybe do you think in 2019, with everything going on and the world being pretty mad, that basically people need festivals maybe, and they need that escapism?
Yeah, I think more than ever before, festivals have got a place in this world where we've got rolling news, and the rolling news is pretty horrible, and there just feels like there's a real... What's that word? Not malice. It's like
Maelstrom.
A French word, like a malaise.
Yeah.
Is that it?
Yeah.
sounds a bit like a condiment. But it feels like there's just a sort of bad feeling bubbling under a lot in a lot of us, you know, with social issues and with politics. So I do, you know, I feel it's nice to escape all that and not look at your news alerts.
Get in your bikini
phone
and wellies and get out there. Okay, so take it back to the start. Can you remember the first festival you ever went to? Or any of the first ones you went to? Were you a kind of Reading girl, Glastonbury?
I didn't really go to a lot of festivals when I was younger. They were actually not my bag for years. I missed out in my 20s, really. And I think the first time I probably would have gone would have been through work. And I think it was Glastonbury.
Well, that was my next question. So it's going to be the first festival you played at or you worked at. So probably Glastonbury.
I worked at Glastonbury. We did Leeds and Reading. And we covered the one... is it V-Fest, I think? Oh, yeah. I tell you what my first festival was. It's just terrifying. Now, these memories are just bubbling to the surface now. My first festival would have been V-Festival, I think, because I was working there for MTV with Donna Eyre and Edith Bowman.
Oh, the glory days.
Glory
that
days.
That trio.
Very 90s, that, isn't it? That's a kind of 90s trio for you there.
Can you remember
Dealing
who was playing?
Might have even been
Whoa.
There.
Who do you remember?
Because I've got a photograph, I've got a little Polaroid of me and ever the professionals, me and Donna Eyre. We were always quite the naughty girls. Edith, very professional. Same with Kat Dealey, and me and Donna were like the bad twins. And we look fabulous because we're in our 20s. So we just lay on the ground. I've got some leopard print affair on, chuffing on a fag, probably with a crop top on. And we're clearly terribly hungover. I think I remember just sitting on like a picnic bench, just feeling terrible and having to wander around and interview people. But I can't actually remember who played, which is terrible.
Okay. And so Glastonbury, obviously a big one for you guys. At Glastonbury, is it sort of on a deck chair in front of the main stage, or are you in the green fields with a crazy pixie hat on?
We're near the dance area a lot because of our association with Annie Mac and Toddler T, so we will be around the dance.
You're with the youngsters?
With the youngsters, hanging out with the young kids. I don't know if we'll be allowed in next time. We're often at the dance. I mean, sometimes, to be honest, Rob, I mean, this is despicable, but there's been times where I've gone to Glastonbury and the only artists I've seen has been Annie Mac and Toddler T, and then Annie again, and then Toddler T again. And then the rest we've been in a motor on, but we've had a brilliant time. We've had a real laugh.
Yeah, that is allowed. Anything is allowed at Glastonbury. Anything's allowed at festivals. So you've obviously got your own kind of festival DJ set up. What's more terrifying, being on the mic at Radio 2 of an afternoon or DJing on a stage surrounded by giant Rubik's cubes?
Well, I do love we do just can't get enough 80s, so I'll do like 90 minutes of 80s music and get lovely dancers on, and it's
you're kind of fake rolling your eyes, but actually it's an awful lot of fun, and I've
it's
seen
really
it
it's really fun. I didn't mean to roll my eyes. I might just have a bit
just
of indigestion
bored. Just bored of the podcast. Let's call it a day there then, Sarah. Thanks for coming by.
I promise.
You look like you're loving it as well.
Yeah, I absolutely love it when I play those, because also there's a lot of people in the crowd. It's great 80s music because you've got your 18-year-olds who absolutely love it. It's having a real sort of renaissance at the moment. And then you've got people in their 40s and their 50s and 60s who are, you know, it was their time. They were kissing boys on sticky floored, you know, nightclubs. During the 80s, and so I absolutely love doing it, and it's not that nerve-wracking because it is just, you know, the usual sort of, you're having a good time. But I'm never very good at that shouty thing down the mic, because
you're better than you think, and I think Annie Mac sort of thinks she isn't very good at it, but you are. Yeah, you do nail it, and people just want to hear your voice, don't they? Because you can't stand there and not say anything.
I know, but I'm from a background in my former life as a wife of a DJ. You know, like, obviously, you know, when like, DJs don't talk normally if you're in a club situation.
DJ.
But I'm not really a DJ. It's more of like a stage show.
Yeah.
You know, the music's obviously huge, the main part of it, but there's also stuff to look at, and then I talk a bit. So I do quite a fun bit where I say who was born in the 80s, who went out in the 80s and all that, and then we'll get round to who was born in the 90s, you know, who was born in the noughties. try and send them out.
But
obviously it's somewhere like Camp Festival where I've played. It was such a lovely crowd. There's loads of kids on shoulders, and you can ask, you know, scream if your mummy and daddy are dancing embarrassingly. Yeah. That. It's nice.
And what are the biggest tunes? What are the biggest 80s acts or tunes?
Human League is always great with Don't You Want Me Baby. It's just a great call and response tune. I always love that. And Forevermore, and Annie Mac's a fan of this tune as well, is Whitney's I Want to Dance with Somebody. It's just one of the biggest songs ever.
Big tune. Okay, are you often broadcasting these days from festivals?
Well, funnily enough, actually, I used to do a lot at Radio 1. I was pregnant once and I was worried about going near the speakers, like, you know, the newly pregnant can be a bit dramatic. It was, what's that rave one called? The real...
Creamfields?
No. I went to Creamfields quite a lot with my ex-husband.
It's all coming out now.
It's great, yeah. It's all coming back to me.
Global Gathering
I worked at when I was pregnant. So at Radio 1 we worked at quite a few festivals. I think we did Creamfields as well, actually.
Did you see Daft Punk at Global Gathering? I am so disappointed and angry with myself that I didn't go and see Daft Punk at Global Gathering.
I do remember Chemicals playing Glastonbury and them having those big clown faces.
Yeah.
Big words.
Yeah.
And that was intense.
Yeah. Get me back to the limo.
Back to my beige model. But Radio 2, funnily enough, we go into Latitude on the Friday night. I think Zoe's going to do breakfast from Latitude, and then I think I'm doing Friday night. I think that's what's happening.
So what's your top tip for that kind of work rave balance? How will you kind of prepare for that mentally?
Well, I mean, the 90s me would have been like, what balance? The 90s me, the old me would have been like, I'm going to a festival, how annoying that I've got to concentrate and work for a bit. And obviously, I'm 44, you know, when you essentially grow up a bit and start to appreciate your job, you sort of, you know, you approach it as in your work and you just happen to be at a festival. So the first time I met Annie Mac, I'd lost my voice. I stayed up all night at Glastonbury. We were supposed to broadcasting together in the morning. I completely lost my voice. It was the first time I'd met her. We were doing a show together, wandering around Glastonbury. I literally could barely squeak. But two good things came out of that was that I knew then that Annie Mac was sorted and she'd become a really good friend, to which she has, because she didn't judge and she just helped me out and she was on my side. She was really sorted. And also I met my husband that weekend. So
there you go.
You know.
Good things.
Yeah,
good
so things. The moral of the tale is get hammered and be unprofessional.
Yeah, professional to the core. Yeah. Okay, cool. Well, Curry Day's getting a bit raucous in here, so we'll wrap up in a minute. But now that you've got kids, you know, have your sort of priorities change in terms of the festival landscape? I suppose that's sort of what we were just talking about, is more yoga and quinoa for breakfast and less...
I'd like to take my kids to more festivals, actually. Maybe next year. This summer's pretty busy already. But we're definitely doing Camp Festival this year, because they do... I know you're vaguely involved with that.
It's something to do with me, apparently.
But it's their first experience of live music, and I think the first year that my son went, because when they were when the littlest one was too little, she could walk and stuff, but she was two or three, and we just thought it's a bit too full on, so we just took the two bigger, and they had Labyrinth headlining, and to see him. My son essentially rave at like 6 years old. It was really magical. It was brilliant. Really safe, massive crowd, really safe. Loads of luminous bands all over him. And just like having it. And we were like, this is so fun. So we'll always try and go to Camp Festival if we can, because we do absolutely love it. But also the kids
other
are growing
family festivals
up,
are available.
They're not as good, no, they
might. Actually, this isn't a BBC podcast. But, Camp Festival's the best.
Camp Festival's amazing. And what's lovely is on the campsite, they make friends and the same people are there every year, so they're all a bit taller
or
a bit
spottier.
Same people to put the tent up and help me. There's nice young people who run around who are amazing.
Yeah, I grew up camping, but if you wouldn't mind just sticking that up for me, then
you know, Ben, husband, is normally sat to one side, and in a twist on the usual gender stereotypes, I'm usually the one putting up the tent with help from lovely staff.
Okay, cool. So before we leave it, let's talk about your book, because I don't know how on earth you find the time. You've got TV shows coming out your ears, you've got radio shows, DJing, club nights, and a book. How on earth did you...
Top podcasts as well. How do we squeeze it all in with Rob Dubai? The book happened, I wrote it, took me about 15 months to write, perhaps a bit longer, including like a bit of editing and a bit of faffing with, and then making my dad go up into the attic to find a biscuit tin full of old photographs, bless him, you know, I mean, it's not really a priority for people. So, and work was a bit quieter, so I managed to write it a lot on a train going up to Leeds, because I was working in Bradford a lot, filming for Back in Time for Tea. So I wrote it a lot on trains and on my couch, and you know,
was it cathartic,
it was
experience?
Lovely. Yeah, I'd love to do another one, really. I want to do a novel next.
Wow.
About a festival owner with long flowing hair and a penchant for a lovely checked shirt.
Stop it. Okay, and what's the book called?
It's called Till the Cows Come Home, in reference to how much I taught, but mainly to my first 20 years and growing up on my dad's farm in Bolton. And you know, it was kind of a split childhood on the farm, and also my mum and stepdad were licensees, so they were, you know, they ran pubs. So it was growing up in pubs. Also, we were on the Bolton Carnival a lot, dressing
the
up,
Carnival.
Yeah, like on the back of wagons driving along.
The original Glastonbury.
Yeah, kind of. That's what set off that. Yeah.
For it. Okay, that's fantastic. Thank you so much.
Thanks,
to
Rob.
Sarah
Cheers.
Cox.
Thank you. Do you want some curry?
It's a wrap.
This is Rob DeBank's A to Z of Festivals. Subscribe now and please remember to rate.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight, and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.